found in 1 John chapter 3. If you'll turn your Bibles there, please. We want to know in our mind that Jesus Christ purchased our salvation, rose from the dead, and we that are saved realize that we belong to Him. Sometimes I think we're not completely aware of all the benefits of everything that God has given us opportunity to share together. So I want to look this morning at the awareness, a special awareness of our position with God. Now we say the words that we're children of God, we belong to God, and the connotation is, I go back to my childhood, and I remember my father and mother. In fact, I was telling Sandra yesterday, when it snows or almost anything, I go back to my years at home, my first 18 years at home with my mother and father, and the memories so cherished in my heart. Walking the church in the snow, 2 mile walk, and so many memories. And I told Sandra yesterday, if someone were to offer me $1 million to say, will you erase all the memories of your first 18 years at home, and I'll give you $1 million, I'd say, that is so foolish. I wouldn't trade $10 million for the memories and the things of my childhood growing up. That's how precious it was to me. And if it was, and it is, that precious with my father and mother, how much more that we are children of God. I could write books and I could talk at length of the memories of my childhood. You know, this day, that event, all those wonderful. But how often, I've been saved since I was 12 years old, that's been a long time. How much more should I cherish and I be aware of my position with my Heavenly Father? And these three verses in 1 John will help us be more aware of it as we read these verses together. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as He is pure. I want to look at three thoughts this morning from these three verses. First of all, let's establish a thought, our present status with the Lord. The Scripture says now. He indicates that present tense, from the moment we got saved, He calls us His children. What an honor it was for me to be able to look up at my dad. He was 6'6". And that's my dad. Wherever he went, he stood out in the crowd. A church man, one that loved God. One that taught me, not by words. He never lectured me on anything that I remember. And I do have a pretty good memory in those days. But I just followed him by example. What he did, it just seemed the right thing to do. And it always matched up with the Word of God when I read the Word of God. And how much more does our Heavenly Father bestow? So let's look at that thought, behold. When he says that word, behold, it means precede. Be aware of the situation. Behold. Come face to face with the reality of it. Recognize our position with Christ Jesus our Lord and discern it in our minds and go back to the experiences we have had from the time we have been saved. How wonderful it was to be called a child of the King. Now the world doesn't like it. They don't even know about it. How could they? Because the Scripture indicates they don't even know Him. And they don't recognize Him. So don't expect the world to recognize us of any particular thing about Christianity, because they don't even know the language, nor do they want to know the language. But let's explore that thought now. Just refresh it in their minds. It says, now we are the sons of God. Present tense. And if you look in the scripture, that word in the Greek was used 138 times. Let's explore only one of those to look at, let it refresh your minds and come to grips with the fact that he's talking about right at this present time. And from the time we got born again, we were the children of God. Let's look at the example in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Remember the occasion now. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. He's been taken according to law up to Jerusalem to be circumcised. And there a man, Simeon, was there, and he had been led by the Spirit of God, as we indicate, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now, present tense, right now, letteth thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And on we could go through those 188 times to see. And we already know that, but sometimes we just don't comprehend. We don't come to grips with the fact that we are children of God. Right now, I'm a child of the King. Now, if I'm a child of the King, then there are certain rights that I have, and there are certain principles to be applied to my life, because my father always had guidelines. I remember. I was remembering this morning about the snow, and I remember that snow day growing up, and what was taking place. And I remember my father, as far as I know, never told us what to do or what not to do on the Lord's Day on Sunday, but I just followed his direction. But one day, my brother and I, my mother and dad, went to visit someone. And it was a Sunday afternoon. My brother and I went back to the house to slop the hogs and feed the chickens and milk the cows. And one of the boys from Hot Springs went with us. And he wasn't a church guy. And while we were up milking, we heard a gun going off. Boy, that just startled me. Somebody is shooting a gun on the Lord's Day. Went back to the house, and the boy had stayed at the house while we were at the barn, and had taken the gun out and was shooting. And that was the awfulest ring I've ever seen. There's certain principles I grew up with. That's the Lord's Day. You just don't do things like that on the Lord's Day. I never had a lecture about it. See, I was taught that. My father never did that. He respected the Lord's house and the Lord's day more than that. And that was my father, and I had to respect it too. And someone else that would come in their house and defy that, they'd go, chills run all over me. Not only do I want to represent my father, earthly father, but I, more importantly, and at all attention, I want to represent my heavenly father. You see, when you're in the world, even though the world don't recognize Christ Jesus, and they don't recognize much about us being a child of the King, they know enough to know that, hey, God, many of them don't believe in God, but if there is a God, they say he's holy and he's righteous. So if we're his children, we ought to act like that. We ought to be more like our Heavenly Father. So he said, right now, don't have to wait. Right now, we're children of God. But let's look farther in that, our present status. And he says, hath bestowed. Look what he said. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He has given to us. He has given us life and life abundantly. And not only salvation, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, come to live in their heart. And the position we are and the status in this world, we're the sons of God. He has bestowed that upon us. Let's examine that word a little bit and let us realize that we know given But it's the same Greek word that he uses in John 3:16, there, familiar verse. Let's look at that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. Same Greek word that now John is saying he hath bestowed upon us. He has given to us life eternal. So for God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave, he bestowed. For God so little, I've never seen that just like it was. How many times have we heard, quoted, and said that verse? For God so loved the world. But that word so just really rung in my mind. God loved us enough in a manner that he so loved us. The more he loved us, he has shown that love toward us and given us and bestowing upon us life eternal. Now, there is a manner of love that he has given us, and let's look at that. He says, what manner of love? From what country? And that word, what manner, it means not of this earth, not of this world. What manner? How could you and I send your son or your daughter to a cruel Roman cross to suffer and to bleed and die for the sins of someone else? And those sins were awful. We couldn't recognize that, so it could not be of this world, because this world just doesn't do things like that. So let's explore that thought. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon him? So it means what country? It's not an earthly source. It's from heaven. So let's look at three or four verses that use that same phrase. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, remember, Jesus was out on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. The Bible says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The winds were so boisterous, they were about to wreck the ship, and they were about to throw the sailors in the water. And if you've ever seen the Sea of Galilee, it's large, and the storms come up, and the boats rock. But this was much worse than I've ever seen, no doubt, or you have ever seen either. And then Jesus just says, peace, be still. And immediately, the storms and the winds obey him. And they say, what manner of man is this? Has to be from a heavenly country. Nobody on earth can do that. So he says, what manner of man could calm the waters? Only God. And then again, he says in Mark chapter 4:41, and they feared exceedingly. It frightened them that Jesus had that much power. Although they recognized he was the Son of God, they knew that in their minds. But to experience it and to be aware of the fact that right now, present tense, this person, even though he's Christ, even though in the back of their mind they know he created the world, he just made the storms cease at his word. What manner of man is this? And fear came upon their heart. The Bible says, and they feared exceedingly when they were in the presence of God. And even though you know it in your mind, but when it comes to grip with you, when you study it and spend time studying about the love of God and just letting that love of God dwell in you, and you see by experience how much he's loved you, and you understand how much he's loved the world, and you study about it, and you read about it, and you make application, and you come to grips with it, then that love permeates you. It quickens you. And pretty soon you want to love as he loved. You want to see others in their sins, and when you see it, you don't want to, but when you see others in their sins, the first thing comes to your mind. You could have been like that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you might have been that, or even worse. And love comes in your heart. And that's not of you, I promise you. What manner of man would do that? Only one that's been bought for the price, and the Holy Ghost lives in their heart.
and dwells in their heart, and keeps their mind stayed on him. What manner of man? But one other time, and let's look at in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? He brings it personal. We see what manner of man God gave his son, and that man had control over the universe. He could speak the word. He could say to Lazarus, come forth. And he had the ability to come forth. He could touch the eyes of a blinded man and he could see. He could make the deaf hear and he could raise the lame and he could raise the dead. What manner of man is his? Not of this world. From a place called heaven. The Son of God. But now the scripture indicates something for us. What manner of people ought you to be? Because there's nothing earthly that you and I have the ability to think or do that's going to accomplish anything. But the peace of God that comes from another country. What manner of people ought we to be? Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when they said the people see that, they will wonder. And they'll say, how could that person react so positive when so much negative is going on? The sickness, the stress, the death, and what they've been through. And I've heard people say, I couldn't act like they acted. What happened to them must be from another source. What manner? So it gets it back to the point. What manner that God could so love the world when he knew how filthy and how awful it would be and drenched in sin and depravity. But yet, God loved us. So it says, what manner of love the Father has? That's not a human kind of love. Even Adam, the one that was given life by God, I'm sure that he, being earthly, made out of the clay. But now that love that God had for us, what manner of love? A heavenly love, a God kind of love. And that's what he wants to instill in my heart, and that's what he wants to instill in your heart. So we've looked at our present status. I want to look at our planned departure. The scripture indicates in these verses that, hey, we're not always going to be here. Present tense, we are here. And from the time you were born in this earth, you were here. And then from the time you were born again, you come to grips with the fact that, hey, I've got an earthly father and I have a heavenly father. And my heavenly father calls me his son, his children. But now I want to look at how he deals with the fact in verse 2 about our planned departure. Verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In this earthly vessel that we live in, we're always looking as best we can to the future. I'm sure many of us, probably most of us, to be honest, was trying to look into the future last night when we heard the news. At least if you went to the grocery store and saw the long line, somebody was listening. Because that's what happens. You know, we want to look to the future. How much is it going to snow? Is it going to freeze? And, you know, I was looking for 9 inches and that didn't happen. But anyway, we look to the future, did we not? Well, he's saying that's okay because now are we the sons of God. That's present tense. But we do have a future and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're curious about that. We know we'll be like him and we'll see him as he is. And we know heaven is a beautiful place. And if you study about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl, that's all wonderful. But the fact that we'll have all our sins forever in the past, right now we have our sins forgiven. But up there, you want, right now, the devil recalls them to our mind. Remember when you said that, you did that? We have been forgiven if we ask, but sometimes we, in the flesh, don't have the ability to forgive ourselves. So we keep it up there. All former things are passed away and all things are become new. And we try to understand that best we can. And so the scripture says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But then he gives us some things that we do know, and I don't want to dwell on those. But we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That purifying thought that he's going to tell us in the next verse. But right now, let's look at their planned departure. There is going to be an arrival in heaven. And when we arrive in heaven, we're going to see him. And John, when he went up in Revelations, remember, he was caught up. And he saw the throne and the rainbow round about the throne and as an emerald. And he saw God and Jesus Christ. We know that's what we're going to see also. And he saw all the other things and heard the sounds. And we look forward, and it doth not yet appear to us what we shall be. But we know this. We'll be with Jesus. While the ages go on and on and on, where he is, we'll be also. Then when he comes back to judge thousand after thousand, we'll be with him. I don't know all about that, but I do know wherever he is, I'll be there also. And I'll be like him. Necessarily look like him, but we'll have that same discern and the same desire. And that's what he wants us to have now. We're sons of God. Why should we not want to be more like him in this world? We know that when he appears, he takes us to glory. And we're going to, when we're departed, and our planned departure. Now, you and I can't plan that departure. It's already been planned for us. That's another good thing about being a son. I remember back on the farm growing up, one of my most cherished memories is I didn't have a worry in the world. I remember that we were always leaving. My dad, right before we went down the hill, we'd look back there. He was always afraid of forest fires catching, you know, our house or our barns on fire. You see any smoke up there, you know? He's always worried about that. And now, as we're departing that place, we realize that that's all we got in this world, our little house and our chickens. That's all we that's our livelihood. And we have that also, but see, we're looking forward to a place called heaven. And we'll depart this world one of these days, but we don't know the time nor the place. It's already planned out for us. And wonderful life with my father and mother because they had my life planned. All I had to get up, do is get up and go do my chores, feed the chickens and feed the pigs and do the milking. Everything else was taken care of. Wasn't that wonderful? Well, how much more does my Heavenly Father have all my future taken care of? I 100% trusted my dad and mother. 100%. I never worried about anything. I always was clothes in the closet and always shoes on my feet and I always had plenty to eat. I never had to worry one minute about anything. How much more if I just realized and knew that I am the child of a king? And if I had that much confidence in my earthly mom and dad, which I did, how much more can I have that he will take care of my every need according to his riches and glory? And my mom and dad didn't have much, but what they had was mine. And my Heavenly Father sure has all the resources to take care of my every need, a healer of my diseases, forgiveness of my sins, quickens my spirit, plans my life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There's none good, no, not one, but he that liveth within me is good. So if I'll yield to the fact that I belong to him, he's my father, and he's got all my future planned, not only down on this world, but my departure day. Sometimes I think about that departure day. I used to worry about dying as a young person. I don't worry about that anymore. I'll tell you why. God says there, I'll give you grace for every need. And I know there's dying grace. And most of us haven't experienced that before, but I actually did. When I was in the hospital with 35 days with peritonitis, I was dying. So the doctor said, I had no fear whatsoever. In fact, after my second surgery, when I couldn't opened my eyes and I couldn't move. My mind was 100% alert. And I says, I don't have any pain. I don't hear any sounds. I may be in heaven. And when I was able to open my eyes and see earthly walls, I was somewhat disappointed. You see, God gave me dying grace when I didn't really need it. So therefore, I know I won't have to worry about it when it comes my time to die. The grace will be there. Nobody wants to leave this world, but you can get so sick as I was that heaven would be a lot better off. And I'm somewhere... people experience that also with their parents and their elders. But there's an earthly stance down here and the earthly status that we have. And then there's a planned departure date, and God takes care of that. But lastly, I want to look at our purification process. We've talked a lot of positive things. It's the Word of God that we're children of the King. He takes care of all our needs. He's got our future plan, and everything is going just according to the way He wants it to go. And the only problem we have is to purify ourselves. Look what it says in the next verse. Our purification process. And every man that hath this hope. What hope? The hope of departing. The hope of being with Jesus. The hope and realization that we can come to grips in our mind with the fact that we belong to Him. You say it with your mouth and you think it with your head, but in your soul, we belong to Him, which erases all need of worry. It can erase all fear, all anxiety. It can erase every unpleasant thing just to know that you know you're a child of the King. Now that we know all that, what can we do? And every man that hath his hope in Him, put there by Him, of course, purifies himself as He is pure. Well, we don't have to talk a whole lot about how pure He is. He's God. And the Scripture says we ought to strive in our heart, in our lives, in our mind to purify ourselves. Now, He was pure. He had sinless blood. He was God's only begotten Son. He had God's blood, not man's God. He was pure. All kinds of things happen in this world to try to get Him to sin, but He was without sin. He was God. And He had the ability to be tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was pure. We know that. Well, what the question is, lingering in their hearts, what do we do to purify ourselves as He is pure? That's a long list, and the Holy Ghost will help us do it. Spend just a few minutes on that. The thoughts we have. Now, the devil sometimes tries to put thoughts in our mind, and he probably has the ability to do that. But I found in my life, as I meditate on the Word of God, I'm trying to minimize the time that Satan has to put thoughts in my mind. And the way, there's gates. God gave us gates, don't you understand? There's gates of the eye, and there's gates of smelling and hearing. And the gates of the eye is if you see something unpleasant, you close it. That's a gate, right? Well, there's a gate of the heart. And if you listen to things, it goes in the heart. And if you see things, it goes in the heart. So the gates that God has given us is to close those gates so we don't see those evil things and we don't hear those evil things. But then there's the thought process, and the thought process comes by lust of the eye, lust of pride, lust of hearing. And when you're able to control those, and the way you do it is you study and meditate on the Word of God. We're not perfect and we're not in perfection, but the Scripture did ask us, he that hath this hope purifies himself as he is pure. So the question, are you saved? If you are, then he gives you that hope. And you exercise that hope. And you cultivate that hope. And you are thankful for that hope. And you dwell on the fact that that hope is that I'm going to be with him And while I'm in this world, until I depart, He's my Heavenly Father. So I want to represent Him in this world. I don't ever want to bring reproach on my Heavenly Father. The world doesn't understand us, not whatsoever. But they do know and hear what we say. We say we're Christians. That means we ought to be Christ-like. They expect that. Not only the world expects it, but Heavenly Father expects it. The Word of God teaches that. He that hath his hope purifies himself. And we think like he does. And if it's sin to him, it's sin to us. I'll tell you something if you won't let it get out. Goes back to my childhood raising. My childhood raising was, you just don't do certain things on the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. Go to church. And you do the necessary things like feeding the cows and milking and all that stuff. You build a fire, but you had to get the wood yesterday. No use getting that chopping wood when you had Saturday to do it. All those things, never been lectured in it. That's just the way I do it. And then there's the thing about fishing. And as a child, oh, I love to fish, string fish. I never was good at anything else except string fishing. Wasn't all that good at that. I sure liked to do it. So I kept a fishing pole in the trunk of my car about all the time. And I just had got married. Sandra and I was riding somewhere on the Sunday afternoon before church. And I went up this mountain I'd never been to before. And there the most beautiful little stream was. And I could just see those trout jumping out of it. And there wasn't nobody there but me and Sandra. And she wasn't raised. She was raised the way I was. And so I thought, maybe the Lord won't look. And so I got my fishing pole and I started fishing that stream for about a minute. And I think, this ain't right. I wasn't raised like this. Because my dad taught me, just don't do things like that. And I think, well, if I were to catch one, I couldn't tell nobody. And so I just put the fishing pole back in the car. I'm telling you that, you know, you may not think fishing on the Lord's Day. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that's the way, for me, the Lord convicted me of it. And it was that fact that I had that hope of being more like him. And I had an opportunity to prove it in this world. And I made a mess out of that. But nobody saw me but Sandra, and I had to apologize to her. And I had to apologize to the Lord. And don't go out and say, preacher said it's a sin to fish on Sunday. That's the way I feel about it, but I'm not telling you it is to you. I'm just telling you the things God has reared us and put in our minds and heart that he's holy. There's a day of rest. There's a day set aside. It's not a day. I mean, at certain times you have to work. Understand that. I used to have to work myself some on Sundays. But the things we do habitually purify ourselves as he is pure. And I could go on and on and on, but the objective is to be more like him. And we know he's pure. And we know he expects us to be pure. A couple of thoughts and be closed. And look at verse 1 again. We should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So again, don't expect the world to bow to you. Expect the world to react to you the same way they react to Jesus. We know it's wrong, but they react to Jesus by the fact that they're in sin. And they don't want somebody else ruling over them. They want to rule over somebody else. So therefore, they won't accept the premises that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is God. They would have to submit themselves to that, and they're not willing to do that. Therefore, they look at you and I the same way they look at Jesus. Why shouldn't they? We're his children. And we're to have the same mindset, same characteristics. I'm not saying that we're holy. We're still in the flesh. But from the bottom of our heart, we ought to, if we have that hope, salvation gives us that hope to be more like him, then we purify ourselves. Read again. It didn't say you ought to consider it. And every man that hath this hope purifies himself. it's a statement and realization of the fact that this is
what you do.
This produces that. And the hope that He gave us in Christ Jesus and the fact that we're sure, it's a realization of the fact that that hope causes us to purify ourselves. If you don't have that hope, then you couldn't do it on your own. But He is so wonderful to us every day of our lives. And just the message again, that the awareness of our present position in our Heavenly Father. Would you stand? Brother Rand, you have a song of invitation? Let us be more like Jesus every day of our life. More about Jesus. Altar is open. Thank you for being here today. A little bit slippery outside this morning, but the sun came out. And the Sun of Righteousness is shining on our life to make us more like Him. We should submit to that and be thankful therein. Altar is open. Would you sing?